Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back. Hour two of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The Retire Briar Edition, Part 2. No, we talked about that yesterday. The official announcement made at the White House today. Both Breyer and the president spoke. We shared that sound in Hour 1. Where were you? And we also talked about a little field trip. Yours truly. You know, I left the studio. I went out and I chased U.S. Senator Ron Johnson because he came to my county, my hometown, Madison, Dane County, Wisconsin. Johnson came to town to, apparently, he told the assembled press, meet with some chagrined parents. And these parents did not wear masks in the building. Ron did not wear a mask in the building, you know, despite the mask mandates here in Dane County. But anyway, setting that aside, because he's a big U.S. senator and all that kind of stuff, Ron told the press, the assembled, you know, these are some outraged parents. Outraged because of the vaccination mandates and the masks. And hell, you know, the Democrats were trying to shut down the schools and indoctrinate the kids and give them critical race theory. And, you know, there was this whole litany of right-wing talking points. And I listened, and I had, you know, been sort of cordially greeted by the senator in the hallway before we walked out there. I was curious how Rojo would react to me. I've interviewed him like 25 times. But today I chased him and shook my hand. And I asked one of the earlier questions at the press conference, and I had been set up by an interview yesterday Ron Johnson did with WKBT, the CBS affiliate in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And we've got the sound. Evan, going to need your help. We'll play this sound again. So before Crudy asked his question, understand where the question comes from. It comes from Ron's own mouth. It comes from the horse's ass. Here's what he said yesterday. Cut 7.
People decide to have families and become parents. That's something, you know, they need to consider when they make that choice. I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
You know, I in some weird way, take this personally. You know, my mom died when I was like 12 years old, and she was twice college educated. She was a single parent in the 1970s and early 1980s, when that was less in vogue, let's say. She had been married, met my DNA daddy. No one ever knew he was alive. I was never privy to the fact that there was a DNA daddy. Met him last year. But anyways, grew up my whole childhood thinking I was a little orphan Crudy. I was a ward of the state of Wisconsin, literally. The social safety net provided for me a house to live in. When I was 14 years old. And throughout the course of my years, now I was less than a perfect kid. I was kind of angry about my mom dying. Was the new kid at a lot of different schools, like 3 different schools in 4 years. Learned how to fight, because you had to fight, because someone was always trying to beat your ass. At least I told my youngest, at least till I got into the weight room. You know, but like my sophomore year, I'd kind of muscled up a little bit. Didn't get messed with so much. But here's the point. I benefited from things like work-study jobs. And when it was time for me to go off to college, I benefited from Pell Grants and federally subsidized student loans, although it took me forever to pay them off. But I benefited from the social safety net. And, you know, my mom didn't plan on getting cancer, didn't plan on dying Ron. But sometimes people die. Sometimes children are orphaned. Or hell, there are some people that, due to life circumstances, whatever happens, and they're no longer capable of providing care for their own children. And that's where the safety net, where the government steps in, right, Ron? At least historically, hadn't that been the case? And I get, you know, nuclear family, all that stuff. I'm not against any of that stuff. My family is a nuclear family. My kids have the benefit of two parents in the household. Both my wife and I thought that was very important for our family. And, you know, we, like every other marriage, we've had our ups and downs, but we've always stayed together and we've always tried to put our kids first. So that's the perspective I come from. And when I hear Ron talking about, you know, if the parents had just planned better, why is this society's problem? So anyways, I see Ron, got my little handshake in the hallway, and then followed him out to the press conference. A little chilly. It's a little cold. But I did ask Ron a question. And here it is. And the first question I asked Ron, cut number four. What about the kids without parents, Ron? Cut four.
Senator, you made a statement yesterday, I believe WKBT. You said that parents really should take the responsibility for their own children, not society's responsibility per se. What about orphans? What about, you know, the social safety net? What about when the parents don't take care of their kids? What is the role of government?
Well, first of all, obviously, we're a very compassionate society, and government's role is to help people that can't help themselves or help
people.
I'm
not clear that you are compassionate, but please continue.
I think my main point is, and I'm happy to defend this. I think the decision to have a child is probably the most important decision you can possibly have. I don't think it should be controversial to say that parents should have the primary responsibility for taking care of their children. I don't think it should be controversial to be concerned about being $29 trillion in debt and additional deficit spending that would be sparked by even more federal government programs that we can't afford, causing, you know, we're at 7% inflation right now.
Kids are breaking this.
I don't think it should be controversial to be concerned about federal government wanting to take greater control over your children when we're talking about critical race theory and all these other
things.
Who's
talking about critical race theory, right?
The federal government want to start indoctrinating our children even earlier. So, again, my point, because I was asked the question about another federal government program. Now, there are plenty of federal government programs to help people take care of things that they can't take care of themselves. I mean, I'm not opposed to those types of things, but parents need to be responsible for their children, and I don't think that should be controversial at all.
The Health and Human Services.
Okay, we can cut that one off there. And I apologize for the loudness of the press conference, an outdoor press conference, wind blowing a little bit, and the fact that they had it next to an interstate highway. You know, I would have picked a quieter spot, but I'm not part of Ron Johnson's campaign team. But anyways, think about the answer he gave. Oh, well, you know, I guess if we must, we'll provide some sort of social safety net. You know, but it should be the parents' responsibility. Well, yeah, it should be, Ron, but of course, society is not ideal. And all circumstances are not ideal. And I greatly believe that Ron's probably talking about the welfare mamas. You know what I mean? He's not coding it out. He's not dog whistling it. But he's talking about the America cannot, afford this welfare state because we're under such debt. And Joe Biden's a socialist. I mean, he said many of these things prior. Hell, he's probably called him a Marxist. Or maybe that was the former governor, Scott Walker. But anyways, I want you to contrast Ron's answer to yours truly, long-winded, I wanted to play it for context, with Ron talking and answering another journalist's question about the tax cuts. And Ron talked to me about the tax cuts way back in January of 2018, came down to our Milwaukee studio and talked about how proud he was. He was the reticent Republican. He was the no. Wouldn't allow the Trump tax cuts to pass in their current form. Not until he got tax cuts for designated S corporations. And you might not be an accountant. You may not own a designated S corporation, but Ron Johnson does. And I used to. I was also a designated S. And Ron knows, you know, as a small business owner, I've involved myself in taxation. I know some of these things. So Ron came down to Milwaukee and he was so proud of himself. He had held out. He had gotten the tax rate cut on designated S, primarily small businesses that the profit from the business passes through to the personal tax returns. So if this little radio station ever makes money, Mike Crute, at least in part, myself and my junior partners, would have to pay taxation. I'm not currently a designated S, but I have been in prior entities. So anyways, that's Ron talking about it. But what I didn't know when Ron was bragging to me, hey, thanks for the tax cut, Senator. Oh, no problem, Crudy. I got one for myself as well. I asked him about self-enrichment. I mean, it seemed kind of blatant. Aren't you self-enriching, Ron? Didn't you hold out for a tax cut for you, Ron? And I thought that might be, you know, a little tinge of corruption there. But here's what I didn't know at the time, way back in 2018. I didn't know what the consequence, the tax consequence would be to a couple of Ron's big donors. And a couple of Ron's big donors, they benefited from that tax cut, depending on whose reporting you believe, between $80 and $200 million in one tax year. 2018, the same year Ron came in, bragged about the fact he'd gotten this tax cut for designated S's like him and me and the widow Hendricks and the Uline family. And the Ulines, they are huge. Well, the widow Hendricks is a huge Republican donor. I am a modest Democratic donor. I give in-kind contributions on the radio each and every day here. That's what I'm doing around here, Ron. Ron asked me earlier today, you know, thought you were a tracker. You're not tracking me, are you? And as I said earlier in the show, no, but I'm kind of rooting against you, sir. Come back with us. I used to call Ron a friend of the devil's advocates. He did tell me today, I'd come back on the show. I kind of interrupted him. I can't prove it to his press people. It's on the tape somewhere. He did say he'd come back, but I'm not clear that I want him to come back. I don't want to humanize the fact that he's occasionally cordial. He'll shake a hand and wish you kind words. How's the family? Well, that's the sort of guy Ron is. But when he's talking about the family, he's really talking about, you know, white, middle class, upper class families. Working class families, those that need, you know, a child tax credit. God forbid, black families. Not so much. That's my impression. Not so much. So come back. I will have, in contrast, a little exclusive sound. I guess others were there, but I feel like it was mine because I was there, and I bring it back to you, our fair audience. Ron Johnson, contrasting, you know, how you treat kids and how you treat corporations. More devils. We'll be right back.
Just might get some sleep tonight. You're a cheat and a swindler.